Blog Talk Radio.
Realize the time was changed. So, oh, we experience a super, super gorgeous day here in Connecticut. It was really a lovely day. I played hooky today. I just stayed in bed all of today and just relaxed and spent some time with me. So today was a day when I just relaxed and played lazy. And then got up and made my dinner, and I felt good for doing that. Again, I am so honored. I'm thankful for the people in the chat room. And my honored guests will be calling in momentarily. But I want to do some housekeeping, and then I am going to read about my guest that is going to be calling in. Well, for a few weeks now, I have been announcing that I'm looking for volunteers. I still have not got any takers. So we are looking for volunteers to help both on our TV show crew in Connecticut and also for the radio. To volunteer for the radio, you can be any place in the world because the radio is globally. And, of course, everything is virtually done. So wherever you are, if you want to be a producer, if you want to sell some ads for the show, you get a real good commission for doing that. We are looking for advertisers. So you can email me at dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com or you can message me here on the radio show, or if you want to call me at 203-794-6208 and we'll talk about whether the volunteer position or if you are looking to sell some advertisement on a part-time basis, you'll make very lucrative commission for doing so. And as I said before, the ads can be sold wherever you are in the world because the show is heard globally. I am excited because in less than 10 days, My books will be going live on Amazon. So, yay! I'm super, super excited about that. They are a collection of all my favorite quotes. Some of them are mine. Some of the quotes are from other experts and scholars. And I have compiled them in four different books. Book one and book two deals with transformational quotes. Book three deals with inspirational quotes. And then there's a combination of book one, two, and three together. But they have changed my life, and I'm sure they will change yours too. So keep an alert to hear when they go live, so you can support me by purchasing as many copies as you will need to make gifts and for yourselves. Another exciting news. I am working on a cruise to go to Europe in June of 2014. And my consultant is putting the final touches on it. And within 2 weeks, we should have the date for you. You're going to have one full year plus to pay for your cruise. So you can come and hang out with us and have a jolly, jolly good time. If you have not yet connected with me on Facebook, I want you to go right now to facebook.com/dynamicdaphne and like my page, like my fan page, and let us connect there. On Twitter, I am @dynamicdaphne. On LinkedIn, I am LinkedIn.com, Daphne Clark Hudson. And I am on Clout. I am on Tumblr. I'm on a lot of other things. I'm on Pinterest. So just if you Google me, you'll see all the places I am at. And I am encouraging you to please join me there. Also, for the breakfast feeding program, yes, we are now a nonprofit. We got our paperwork back. You can visit us to give your donation at http://www.gofundmeallonewordcom/building-cafeteria. So you just click on that and you can make your donations to the breakfast feeding program. Also, if you visit my website, DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com, there are some freebies there for you once you subscribe to our list. So grab everything you can now while it's going for free. If you are in the greater Litchfield area, the National Association of Professional Women meets the fourth Tuesday of each month, and we are meeting at the Luxurious Litchfield Inn at 432 Bantam Road. We meet at 5:30 for dinner, and then we transition into our meeting. Our guest speaker for this month is Dee Boone, who is a social media expert, and she's coming there to tell us how to really utilize social media to get all the visibility that we can on social media. And for those of you that have children, you live in Connecticut or Putnam and Paterson County of New York, this is the time of year when I look for host families for the French Cultural Exchange Program. They are coming again in July and August, and we are looking for some host families. So again, I hope you will email me or call me up, 203-794-6208, and we will discuss with you how you can become a member of the luxurious list of host families. I want to read one piece of poetry, and then I'm going to read about my guest. And this one says, In our lives, there are things we may never understand, no matter how hard we try. Still, we must do our best and know we will always get by. In our lives, our desires we may never realize, regardless of how much we hope. Still, we must go on believing that the things meant to be will be, and that all things are possible. In our lives, there are many things that we can change and control as we choose. Other things are less affected by us. It is up to us to set the stage for good things to come our way. For in our lives, in the course of our days, no matter how sunny or gray, there is a wonderful opportunity given to each. If only we can believe and remember that even though our dreams may sometimes seem far away, they are never out of reach. And this is so fitting today because I am going to read now about my guest that will be joining later on. And I want for you to listen what his bio says. My guest is Sean Watson, and he's going to be calling in when he does. In becoming a leadership speaker, I have had to overcome many challenges and obstacles in my life so far. In 1992, at the age of 6, I was diagnosed with a learning disability, dyslexia. Some kids would call me retarded, stupid, slow, and I'm sure they used to feel other choice words. I didn't even know what they meant. I was also bullied sometimes, and sometimes this made me choose to be a loner. Around 1996, the bullying started to fade, and that was about the time I found the game of basketball. I still had to face the fact that I had a learning disability, which forced me to attend resource training classes with a special instructor. The resource classes helped me with school and the game of basketball, helped me socially from a standpoint of showing others I did have a special talent. The extra classes and basketball gave me a sense of pride in myself that I never had before. In 2005, I left home to attend college in Mississippi. At that time, still considering myself a fellow, but I was learning how to achieve new goals with the help of my Uncle Jerry. That transformed me into a leader. He taught me the importance of doing chores, reading the Bible, working hard, and keeping myself physically fit. By building a relationship with God, I gained more peace, strength, and self-confidence. This has all led to my achievements in school, work, and building my new personal and professional relationships. In December of 2011, I had a breakup with my girlfriend that forced me to pray to God for strength. The breakup gave birth my newest book, Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. In December of 2012, after a year of hard work, I released my first book. I wrote this book while working two jobs, a part-time job in the morning and a full-time job from afternoon until 11 p.m. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the story of my guest, Mr. Sean Watson. And Sean will be calling in, I think, during his dinner time from his job. So I wanted to share that with you. And I am sure that there are many, many people out there who can relate to Sean. Ever so often, when we turn the news on, we are listening to different people who are being bullied, not only children, but adults as well, who are being bullied in their everyday lives. And this can impact us. I recall, I think it was maybe about 7 days or so ago, there was a young man. I turned my computer on, and the young man was, I think, 12 years old, who killed himself because he was being bullied. So it is a blessing when we hear of people who have survived bullying or any kind of labeling, who has now become leaders and are helping other people to get their stories being told and to hold on to life. Because I tell you, there are a lot of cruel people in today's world. And as I was having a conversation with a lady the other day, we were at a meeting. And during the break, she and I got into a conversation, and I was telling her that when people hurt you or bully you, we should do our best not to take it personally. We have to know that the people that's doing the bullying and the hurting, they are hurting themselves. And they are doing that to suppress you or belittle you so that they can elevate themselves. I tell you, we need to prepare those people who are raising children. You must prepare your children to be assertive when they go out there and to be able to stand up for themselves in a respectful way. You know, they don't need to be a wimp. They can stand up for themselves in a positive way without getting angry, without getting into a fight. But don't be running and hiding from a bully, because they're always going to be picking on you. Do not be afraid to find someone in authority to report what is going on with you. Your teachers, your guidance counselors, your parents. But do not keep it a secret. If you are being bullied, if you are being antagonized, if you are being humiliated, be sure to tell someone in authority. Even though the bully might tell you derogatory things that they will do to you, you must believe on that strength you have inside of you and go and tell somebody who you know will help you and protect you before it is too late. While I am waiting and Sean to call in, I am going to read from some tips here from this book, The Four Levels of Healing, A Guide to Balance and Spiritual, Mental, Emotional, and Physical Aspect of Life. Because, you know, as I was having the conversation with that lady, and the lady's in her 40s, and certain things she was encountering happened to her at an early age. And I mentioned to her certain things she needs to do to be healed. So I want to share, I'm starting to share from chapter 3 in this book, Healing the Mental Level. Because it doesn't matter at what age these things happen to us, we need to make the effort to deal with them so we can heal ourselves. The mental level of life encompasses our intellect, ideas, beliefs, and basic philosophy. In order to clear and heal the mental level, we need to become conscious of our thought patterns and underlying belief systems. We need to educate ourselves about other ideas and eventually become able to consciously choose the beliefs, values, and philosophies that make most sense to us and support our conscious evolution. We have all picked up certain beliefs and attitudes about the world through the early influences of our family, religion, schooling, culture, and life experiences. Many of these beliefs are quite unconscious. We are not at all aware that we hold them. It's as if we view the world through tinted glasses. We don't even realize we are wearing. We believe the world is just that color. If we become aware of the glasses, we can choose to take them off and see the world quite differently. Similarly, once we become aware of our core beliefs, we can make more conscious choices about our ideas, attitudes, and expectations. A wonderful story that Deepak Chopra illustrates how our beliefs control our lives when training baby elephants in India, trainers start by chaining one hind leg of the animal to a large tree. In a short time, the elephant becomes so accustomed to be chain, to the chain that he no longer tries to free himself. The trainer then reduces the size of the chain. In time, the elephant is so conditioned to the restraint that even a tiny string around the foot will stop him. Yet, it is certainly not the cord that holds him. Rather, it is his belief that he is restrained. Like the elephant, our beliefs, systems, color our experience of the world, and we tend to keep interrupting and recreating our world based on our core beliefs about ourselves, other people, and life in general. However, as we mature and have new and different life experiences, new perspectives may challenge our beliefs. Every moment of our lives, we are involved in an ongoing process of sorting out and evolving our philosophy, rather, whether or not we are conscious of it. To become aware of our core beliefs by paying attention to your thoughts, especially noticing the chronic repetitive ones that run through our mind, if we can begin to write down some of your repetitive thoughts and beliefs, this simple but profound step helps to bring them to consciousness. Talking to a therapist or a friend about them can help you begin to detach from old belief systems. Whenever you notice such a recurring thought pattern, think about where it came from. Did you pick it up from one of your parents or someone else in your early life? Is there an underlying core belief in which these thoughts are rooted? If you are just joining me, I am sharing with you from the four steps of healing and waiting on my honored guest to call in. My honored guest is Mr. Sean Watson, and he will be calling in momentarily, and so I'm just sharing here until he comes. And then in a few minutes, I want to share a word from our sponsors. As you gain more awareness of your thought patterns and underlying belief systems, you may recognize that some of them support you in your personal growth and well-being, while others limit you or interfere with your progress, with your process of creating satisfaction and fulfillment in your life. As we become more conscious of our core beliefs, the ones that no longer serve us automatically begin to dissolve, and the ones that support us begin to take root. There is an exercise on identifying your inner rules at the end of this chapter that can help you with your process. To experience balance, integration, and well-being in our lives, the mental level must support and harmonize with the other three levels of our existence. We need to have a spiritual philosophy that gives us a broader perspective and helps us find meaning in our lives. We need to have an understanding and acceptance of our own emotions that helps us to love ourselves. We need to know how to care for our physical bodies in a healthy way. For example, if you believe your physical body is inferior to your spiritual self, and that is unworthy of your care or attention, you are holding on to mental attitude that will cause conflict and lack of well-being in your system. But if you re-educate yourself to understand how important and worthy your physical body is, and you learn to take care of it, your entire system will feel more balanced and harmonious. In the process of becoming more conscious, we are constantly learning new ideas, viewpoints, and philosophies, and weighing them against one another, weighing them against the ones we already hold. Gradually, we begin letting go of the old ideas that are too limiting for us, while retaining the ones that still serve us, and incorporate new ones that are more expansive, deepening, and empowering. For example, I used to believe there wasn't much I could do about circumstances in my life, that I didn't have much power to change them. Then I learned the idea that I create my own experiences of reality. I found that idea much more empowering. So I eventually choose to adopt that belief system. As I did this, I began to experience the world in a very different way, and began to see that I really could have a great deal of power over my life's circumstances. I grew up believing I would choose a life career and go to college for many years in order to achieve my goals. But after 4 years of college and a bachelor's degree, I still didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. In the process of searching, I discovered a new philosophy by trusting and following my intuition, my intuitive guidance, and creative impulses. My life would develop in interesting and fulfilling ways. A fascinating and successful career has unfolded from following this belief system, and as it turns out, I never went back to college. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful experience? I want to welcome best people we know. Welcome to the show. My guest, Sean Watson. I am waiting on him to call in. And in the meantime, I am sharing from the book, The Four Levels of Healing. So if you have any input that you want to call and share, about bullying or any labeling or, you know, negative categorization that you know people have been through and that they have triumphed, I welcome you to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. So I'm going from the chat room to the studio to be reading. So I will be back to see whether or not you write something there for me to share. And again, best people we know, thank you so much for joining us this evening. So I want to now share the second segment of this show is brought to you by Dr. Deanna Murphy.
If you're a woman of faith, you've got to attend Designing Your Personal Awesome Future with Dr. Deanna Murphy on April 6th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington, PA. If you're ready to renovate, redesign, and renew your soul, join Dr. Deanna, America's expert on life design, as she helps you to let go of your past, identify solutions for fear of failure, experience inner healing, and much more. Register now at myawesomefuture.eventbrite.com.
All right, so that's coming up on the 6th of August. Hope to see you all there. And the number to call in to be part of this conversation until Mr. Watson call in to share his story, how he triumphed through the dyslexia and all the other labels that he got in while he was in school up until he went to college. An amazing, amazing, empowering story this young man has. And I know that there are many out there like him. So I just want to tell people to be encouraged. Get the help you need. Mentor, coaches, whoever that can help you. Anybody that will listen and support you and help you. But never go hide and never give up on yourself. So if you have a similar story, if you are going through something yourself, use this time to call me, 646-915-8166, and I can hand you the mic until my guests call in. So I'll continue now to share from the book, Four Steps of Healing. Popular misconception, and the chapter I'm sharing from is Healing the Mental Level. Many people, especially people involved in the New Age, are confused about the process of healing the mental level. They think they must always practice positive thinking, using this technique to block out their so-called negative thoughts. They are afraid their negative thoughts will hurt them. Perhaps they have been stuck in negative thoughts and feelings in one time of their lives. Now that they are feeling more positive, they don't want to acknowledge any negativity for fear of slipping back into a gloomy perspective. So they deny or suppress all their negative thoughts and concentrate only on positive ones. For some people, this works fairly well for a while, but eventually, all those denied, repressed thoughts and feelings come to the surface one way or another. Thoughts are energy, patterns, and and they must not go somewhere. They don't just disappear because you want them to. That's why many people who attempt to practice positive thinking are quite surprised to discover that efforts to get rid of their negative thinking actually makes matters worse. Rather than diminishing their negative thoughts and feelings, they find themselves caught up in them even more. This is a very predictable outcome of focusing only on the positive. Remember that the first step in any healing process is always acknowledging and acceptance, acknowledgement and acceptance of what is the true, what is the right now. We don't heal anything by trying to block it out, get rid of it, or pretend it doesn't exist. We heal it by accepting that it's there, then becoming aware that there are other possible choices. So we need to acknowledge and accept our so-called negative thoughts as part of who we are, while at the same time recognizing and developing other perspectives and ideas that give us more expansive possibilities. Again, this takes practice and should be viewed as a long-term commitment. Another common New Age fallacy is that you can change your whole life by changing your thoughts. In fact, becoming aware of your thoughts and allowing them to change naturally is an important part of healing your life. But the mental level is only one of four aspects. Deep change can only occur when you work on and integrate all four levels. Many people think thoughts and feelings are the same. They lump them together under the word mind, as in body, mind, and spirit. They believe that if you can change your thoughts, you change your feelings too. In reality, thoughts and feelings, although connected, are quite different. Just changing how you think about something doesn't immediately change your feelings. We will discuss this further in the next chapter when we explore healing the emotional level. Let me check to see if there's anything in the chat room. No, there's nothing. All right. Healing the inner critic. One big problem many of us experience on the mental level is an overactive inner critic, a voice inside that constantly tells us that you have done wrong, tells you how inadequate you are, compares you unfavorable to others, and so on. This problem actually has its roots in the emotional level, but plays out on the mental level through repetitive self-critical thoughts. If you have a strong inner critic, it can make your life quite miserable by always making negative comments about everything that you do. This may prevent you from expressing yourself freely, exploring your creativity, trying new things and taking necessary risk in life. Ultimately, the inner critic can cause you to feel unnecessarily discouraged and depressed. Fortunately, it is possible to become conscious of your inner critic, work with it, and eventually transform it into an ally rather than an enemy. Doctors Hal and Sidra Stone have done wonderful work helping people heal their inner critic, as well as helping them become conscious of the many other inner voices ourselves we all have within us. Their books, Embracing Your Inner Critic, Turning Self-Criticism into Creative Assets, and two audio tapes, Meet Your Inner Critic and Meet Your Inner Critic 2, are extremely helpful. Many kinds of intelligence. Some people have been wounded on the mental level by being told during their childhood that they were stupid, or by being compared, unfortunately, to a sibling or a classmate. Also, many girls receive the direct or indirect messages that female are less intelligent than male, or that intelligence is unimportant or undesirable in women. Other problem is that many people with more intuitive right brain learning styles don't do well in our left brain logical oriented school system. They may have mistakenly drawn the conclusion that they aren't very smart. That when in reality, they have a different type of intelligence. People who have suffered these types of traumas in early life may have learned to doubt, discount, or deny their own intellect. In this case, the mental healing process must involve reclaiming one's own native intelligence and learning to trust it. Our society tends to recognize and reward only one or two kinds of intelligence. Yet, there are actually many different kinds of intelligence, and they are all useful and important. In this book, Frames of Mind, The Theory of Multiple Intelligence, Howard Gardner suggests that we each have at least seven distinctly different types of intelligence. Each of these seven intelligence operates from a different part of the brain and is relatively independent of the others, with its own timeable or development and growth. Gardner identifies the seven intelligence as follows, and I'll do my best to read them slowly, so for those who are writing, will get them. The first, logical, mathematical intelligence. The ability to organize, quantify, and understand numerical symbols, obstructions, and logic. Number two, linguistic intelligence, the ability to understand and use language. Number three, spatial intelligence, the ability to perceive the physical world and to imagine how things fit together. Bodily kinesthetic intelligence, the ability to use one's body in highly differentiated and skilled ways. For example, as a dancer, athlete, or someone that does mime. Musical intelligence, the ability to recognize and produce musical tones, rhythms, and patterns. Intrapersonal intelligence, the ability to be in touch with one's own feelings and sense of self. And number seven, interpersonal intelligence, the ability to notice other people's feelings and experiences and to communicate with the influence communicate and to influence other people. Every individual is more developed in certain kinds of intelligence than in others. In each kind of intelligence is a clue to the gifts we have come here to give. Ironically, we are often the last to recognize and acknowledge our own talents and abilities. We tend to be somewhat blind to the things we do best. We live without our own genius every day, and it just seems normal to us. It can be interesting to ask a close friend what they think your greatest strengths and abilities are. It's also useful to try to identify other people's type of intelligence so you can get acquainted with the variety of ways that people are gifted. There is an exercise at the end of this chapter that can help you recognize and develop your own unique abilities. We are still waiting on my guest, Mr. Sean Watson, to call in. And I hope he will call in soon. We have 36 minutes remaining. Interestingly enough, I have known a number of people who found that returning to school as an adult was very healing experience. One friend of mine who had never graduated from high school studied for and completed his high school equivalent exam at the age of 37, then went to college and earned a bachelor's and then a master's in his chosen field. Needless to say, he was enormously empowered by his experience. Many other friends and students of mine have returned to college to complete a degree or study a particular subject. These days, there are many excellent programs geared toward working adults, both in conventional colleges and alternative institutions. Being an adult in touch with your passion and knowing what direction you want to follow may afford you a very different experience in school than when you were younger, and the difference may transform your entire perspective of yourself and your life. On the other hand, if you don't have a strong desire to pursue an education in this form, return to school could simply be miserable. Repeat of your earlier life experience. If you feel you need some kind of structure to support in your mental development, but are not drawn to traditional schooling, look around for alternative possibilities. Ask your inner guidance for direction and explore any options that sound interesting. Exercise. Becoming aware of your inner rules. Our core belief systems often shows up in our lives in the form of rules we consciously or unconsciously try to follow. Identifying these rules and working with them can help you have more choice about which ones are appropriate for you. Here are two exercises that help you get in touch with the inner rules that may be strongly influencing your life. The first is a written exercise, and the second is a guided meditation. Read through the meditation completely before guiding yourself through this process. And here are the instructions for the written exercise. You will need a notebook or a journal, or even several sheets of paper and a pen. Sit where you can write comfortably. At the top of each page, write down one of the following topics. Then leave the rest of the page blank. And here are the topics. Spiritual, social relationships, work or school, body. There should be four pages with one of these topics at the top of each. First, we'll examine the main rules or beliefs you learn as a child. Some of these may have been directly given to you by your parents, grandparents, teachers, or someone else important in your life. Many of these rules may have come indirectly or unconsciously from watching how others behave, through implications, or by absorbing them from your culture. Remember not to give a value to these rules, such as good or bad. Just list as many as you can remember. Think back to when you were a child. What kind of rules were you thought about being spiritual? For example, you should pray every day, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. On the page Mark Spiritual, write down any rules or strong beliefs you learn about spirituality as a child. Take as long as you want to do this. You may even add to the list over several day period. On the second page, mark social relationships. List the rules you learn about appropriate social behavior. For example, don't run or talk loudly in the house, or children should be seen and not heard. And I think my guest is calling in, so we are going to just pause here. And I think we will need to pick it up. Hello, caller. Your last four digits are 1661. Is this Mr. Watson?
This is him.
How are you?
Yes, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am great, thank you. I was keeping the ball a rolling here for you.
Well, thank you very much.
I read your bio at the top of the hour. So the people who are listening will hear it, and those in the chat room heard it as well. Well,
okay.
I tell you, I began the show by talking about, as a matter of fact, today's show, I gave it the title of Success Regardless of All the Negative Labeling and everything like that, and bullying and all of that. And you experience a few of those labels, and I am proud of you because you're around to share your story that is helping to impact and improve the lives of others. Would you say that's accurate?
I definitely say that, because I just feel that there's no obstacle, there's no circumstance that can actually stop you. The only person that can stop you is yourself.
But you mentioned about breaking up with your girlfriend. Although that was a devastated situation, it turned around and actually blessed your life.
And yes.
We are going to go to that in a while, but I want to spend some time talking about growing up with dyslexia and being labeled in school and being called dumb and stupid and all the other mean things that the students did to you.
Okay.
As you think back over those years, what's going through your mind? And if you could see some of those students right now, what would your conversation with them be like?
Honestly, I hold no grudges. I hold no grudges at all, because I feel like, you know, in life you have to move on from situations. I realize that things happen for a reason. So if I saw them today, I would honestly say thank you. I would say thank you because, you know, at that time, you know, I was going through a tough time because, you know, all those things that people were saying to me, it just showed me and motivated me. It motivated me that I need to prove to not only the people, but I need to prove to myself that I can accomplish anything that I really want to. Because at that time, you know, I was so used to being, you know, put inside of a box, you know, and being average and doing average things that, you know, now I'm able to do things that are above average. I'm able to do things that people never really thought I would be able to do. So I really just would just say thank you, because they really motivated me. They got the fire going. You know, it fueled me to do the things that I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm. Have you, over the years, have you seen any of those school mates, and do they have any ideas about the journey that you're on?
I haven't visited California in a long time, since I was about 16 years old, but I keep in touch with a lot of the students through Facebook, you know, which is a great tool to be able to keep in touch with people. And, you know, now they really see, you know, a lot of people are really seeing, you know, my potential, you know, because all along people didn't see it. They thought I was, you know, they thought I wasn't normal. They thought the things that I was doing wasn't, you know, normal. And now they're seeing, you know, that potential, you know, and they give me a lot of support and they give me a lot of credit now they see me, you know, doing great things.
Mm-hmm. And for the young children, whether boy or girl, and as a matter of fact, not even children, because there are many adults who are being bullied on their jobs or anything or things like that now. For the people, whether adult or children, who are at present experiencing some of the things that you experienced in the past, what would you like to tell them? What would you share with them right now?
Well, the number one thing is you have to kind of really just be focused. You can't allow what the things that people are going to tell you to distract you. Because I'm going to be honest with you, people will always talk about you behind your back. People will always say that you can't do this, you can't do that. But you have to stay focused, because it's not about what they're saying, but it's about what you're doing. Because if you're allowing people to stop you from the calling that God has for you, then that's not a really good thing, because, you know, God gave you a purpose for a reason. So whether you're being distracted or not, you know, don't concentrate on the things that people are telling you. Concentrate on the good positive people that are in your life, and concentrate on what God is telling you. You know, I would always say, you know, really, you know, build that relationship with God, number one, and then concentrate on that as well as the people that are positive in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you add about starting the relationship with God, because I was listening to you, and there are some people who don't know about God. There are some people who don't have anybody positive in their life, but based on what I just hear you say, there is a why in each and every one of us. And each and every one of us needs to find a reason to help us to connect to that why. And for you, you connect to your why when you went out to be with your Uncle Jerry, and he pointed you to the great book, the Bible. You
Yes.
found out how important a relationship with the Lord was, and that gave you the turnaround.
It sure did, because I have to be honest with you that when I moved down to Mississippi in 2004, 2005, I was a follower. I have been a follower my whole life. You know, I didn't know, I didn't have a direction at all. I didn't know what direction I was going into. So all of the, I would find people and I would just follow them. Whatever they were doing, I did the same thing. You know, I didn't. You know, it took me going down there. It took me, you know, going through his teaching and his training for me to realize that I'm a leader. I'm capable of being a leader, and he helped me to develop those skills of being a leader, because one of the things about being a leader, you have to have confidence. Because once you're confident in what you're doing, and once you're confident in your abilities, then you are able to teach and help other people.
Mm-hmm. So why when you were in Mississippi, why was it a challenge for you to be a leader? You said you were always a follower. And why was it a challenge for you to do?
Well, I mean, pretty much at that time, for 18 years, I was a follower. You know, mm-hmm. I was used to following people. I wasn't used to people coming to me and saying, you know, showing how do you do this, or you know, telling me positive things like that. So I was so mm-hmm. used to being a follower. And mm-hmm. when he came to me and saying, you know, Sean, you need to be a leader. I see leadership qualities in you, and mm-hmm. I'm willing to train you. Then that really brought something to me, because, you know, like I said, I was 18 years old, and I still saw people in my college, you know, doing what they wanted to do, but I was willing at that time, I was willing to step up and take that challenge on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. Well, not that it doesn't matter, but regardless of your age, it is important to find someone who believes in you and can take you by the hand literally and say, here are your strong points. Here is what you need to work on. These are the strengths you and the talents you need to develop in order to do X, Y, and Z. So everybody in life needs a roadmap. Yes?
Yes. Yes, I would definitely agree. But you know, the key thing too is you have to be coachable and you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to listen, because he could have told me all that stuff and I not listened to him at all.
That's right.
And it would have been a waste of time.
That's right. So in order to that, whether you're going to be paying for the coaching or you're going to get it through your mentor, you got to be receptive. So once you accept that, oh, well, this is some good stuff here, because your Uncle Jerry could have been telling you 24/7, but if you did not have a receptive spirit, all of his effort would have been in vain. But you listened and you follow through. Now, let us go forward into when you lost the lady friend. How long were you together for?
We were actually together for about 3 or 4 months, actually. We were together about 3 or 4 months. But the theme about me is I was so used to a lot of my life being rejected. You know, I was in a lot of relationships that probably I shouldn't have been in, because I was just so focused at the time about finding that special person.
And that happened, and it's like it took you from the blind side.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you probably saw something in this lady that you didn't see in anybody else, and you think, this was it, she got my heart. And all of a sudden, you got a rude awakening.
Yes.
So what happened?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, we were dating and everything like that. You know, it was a age difference, of course. But I mean, you know, I saw her. I met her at work one day when I was just kind of just, you know, doing some work, and I saw this young lady, and we kept running into each other for a couple weeks. You know, we kept running into her, and I would talk to her a little bit every time. And then all of a sudden one day, I just saw an opportunity. I saw an opportunity to go and talk to her. And when we talked, we hung out for one day. We hung up for a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to the movies and things like that. And then we decided during a break, like I think it was like during Christmas break, we decided to actually become a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was going great. You know, I was going to church with her. You know, very often we were going to church sometimes 2 or 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were going to church. I was being involved in all of her
activities. Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And you know, she was texting me, and we were having a great everything was going great. We were praying together, fellowshipping, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, things got a little different. You know, the texting, it stopped. It wasn't texting as much from her. Her hugs were different. There was no eye contact. Even when I held her hand, it was kind of loose. It was just something that was just different, you know.
Sean,
so, yeah.
I'm not laughing at you. It's the way you said it, that all. When you held her hand, it was loose. I'm laughing because I was speaking with a client the other day, a client of mine, and he said that if he was dating this lady, he would know the relationship is not going to go far if he held her hand and she said, let go my hand, I know where I'm going. So that's why I'm laughing when you say that. So that there's a lot of tales telling in that hand holding thing.
It is, because you know all those things that I just mentioned to you, you know, they start to add up a little bit, because I knew that something wasn't right, and she wasn't telling me very much. You know, I would ask her questions like that,
mm-hmm.
and wasn't the type to open up. A lot of times I would have to bribe her to open up. I would have to buy her things for her to open up. It's not because you want somebody to be able to open up without you having to bribe them.
Right, yeah, you shouldn't have to be priming the pump.
Communication is
key.
Is everything in a relationship.
Yes, that's right. So, you shouldn't have to be priming the pump, Sean.
Exactly.
So, you know, to fast forward.
Okay.
And the hand was loose. The hand was limp. No eye contact. The texting cut down. And you know things just was not right.
Yes.
So when did everything happen? When did you know, oh, this is true. It's done.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, one day I was at work one day. And I was texting with her, and I still knew something wasn't right because one day I thought we had some hope in the relationship because after those things I was telling you about, she gave me a big hug one day,
and it was a good normal hug like before.
It was a good hug, and I thought things were getting back. I thought maybe she was kind of going through a phase because I know she was having some issues and everything like that, and I thought maybe it was a phase, but. Then one day she just texted me, you know, one day, and, and I was asking, like, is everything okay? And then finally she told me. She's like, my guy friend was back in town, and he wants to get back together, and I really love him, and he loves me.
Oh, dear Lord.
And, I definitely want to give this relationship another chance, and I would like for me and you to just be friends.
Oh, please, get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the funny thing about that is that I remember our last date from that because we actually had before she told me that, it was the night before, we were on a date, and we went to go see the movie, it was called Red Tails.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to go see that movie, it's about pilots and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, that night was different, and so... That was one of the bridal nights because I was thinking taking her out like that would actually be...
She would open up and say something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
wow.
And then that brung on that next day at work, when I'm at work, and she texted me that after probably a while of trying to get her to open up, she finally, you know, told me what was going on. Because I had a feeling something wasn't right because something was taking her attention, and I just couldn't really figure out what it was.
That's right. Sean, we only have 12 minutes remaining.
Okay.
But I'm glad you so eloquently share that because this end up being a blessing in your life.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And what is that blessing that you have gotten out of the out of what happened? Something
well,
that should have been devastating end up being a blessing. What is it?
Well, it ended up being a blessing for me because now I'm able to really just help people. I've been really just going out helping people. You know, with their relationships. A lot of times they go and they talk to me about their relationships and everything like that.
And you also wrote a book. You can talk about the book.
Okay. Well, I actually did. I put it together. It was something that God put on my heart. You know, and this experience that I experienced, it forced me to tap into the gift that I had all along. You know, I had always wanted to be a speaker.
It didn't force you. It inspired you and propel you.
Yes.
Because forces are negative, so it propels you and inspires you to do that. You know, that's training ground. What happened to you was training ground for you, because when you interact with other people who are going through the same thing, you're telling them, here is what used to happen. Man, I remember holding my girlfriend's hand, and that hand was loose.
Yeah.
And I know the lesson there. That, Sean, is going to be more impacting to the people you're working with than anything that you would have gotten out of a training course. So continue.
Definitely.
Continue.
Well, it's been a blessing because, you know, I didn't realize what I was capable of doing. And the one thing that I would share with people just listening tonight is that you can date somebody, but never get too wrapped up into the person. You know, always realize that you have a vision and never lose your self-worth.
Would you repeat that again slower?
Okay. When you're dating someone, never get too wrapped up into the person you're dating. We have a tendency as human beings to get so wrapped up into the other person that we forget about our vision.
That's
and
right.
Forget yourself in the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem about that is that as we forget our vision, you know, when this person breaks up with us or something bad happens, and we invested so much time into them, it hurts us. It hurts even more. But just imagine if you didn't spend so much time on that other person and you was able to do half and half. You helped them on their vision, but you also work on yours. Then I don't think we would be hurt as much because it's about that time that's invested. That's invested time.
That's right. And that's why it is so important that we always operate from an overflow. We should never be giving from our full cup. We should always be giving what's in the saucer. Because when you give from the full cup, you are depleting all of your effectiveness. So give from the overflow. Live and operate in a flow that you have a lot in your saucer to give that you don't ever have to touch the full cup. So this way you can sustain yourself. We have 8 minutes remaining. Is there anything you want to tell the people I have not asked you about? You can tell them. And then I want you to summarize the thoughts that you want to leave the listeners with, Sean.
Okay. Well, I really just want to get into the listeners. I just want to just thank you all for listening in tonight, definitely. What I want to leave with you is that you're on this earth for one purpose, and that purpose is your calling. And I'm just gonna say, don't let anyone, I mean no one, distract you from that calling. And it's gonna be some tough and challenging times, but as long as you have a relationship with God, God will carry you through anything. Because when you build that relationship with God, what that brings you into your life is strength. And if you notice, when people have strength, none of those things can tear them down. None of those things bother them. And so, if you're going through something right now, or you're trying to figure out things, or you're in a relationship, remember that your vision is important. This is as important as the vision of having that relationship. Because relationships are not guaranteed, but that calling that God has on your heart, that calling that God created for you, that is guaranteed.
Beautiful, beautiful. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, I would definitely just have people to, you know, definitely send me a friend request on Facebook. If you're on the line right now, you can go ahead and send me a friend request at Shawn Watson. That's SHAWON, last name Watson, WATSON. You can also, send me a request on Twitter. I'm at Shawn A. Watson on Twitter. Definitely, you know, send me there, and you can just reenact with me and see what kind of activity I'm doing on both of those social media sites. And you know, if you have any questions about, you know, some, you know, vision or any kind of thing, any questions you have, just, you know, send me an inbox. But definitely just send me a friend request, and I will be more than happy to help you in any way I can.
And what should we look for? What are your intentions for Sean Watson in the next 3 years?
My intention is to become one of the top life coaches that I can possibly be. I definitely see myself, you know, going out there doing life coaching seminars about forgiveness, because right now I'm really big on that forgiveness thing, because there's so much unforgiveness going around right now. I definitely want to do a lot of as many speaking engagements as I can, and just really just help people to find their fulfillment. You know, one of the two areas I want to work on is helping people heal broken hearts, teach people how to forgive, and help people find fulfillment in their lives.
You bring up a very important word, and we have 5 minutes remaining, so I'm going to spend some time talk about it. Forgiveness. Okay. I know for me, oh my God, that is such a heavy load. how is forgiveness for you? It's easy to talk about, but when it get down to doing it, how has that been for you?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, forgiveness is not supposed to be an easy task, but it's necessary because it's hard for us to be able to move forward when we have that unforgiveness on our hearts. Because with unforgiveness on your heart, there's no peace. And in order for us to be able to concentrate on where we're going and where God has taken us, you know, in our futures, we have to have peace, and we have to have forgiveness going forward. And so it's not an easy task, but again, it has to be done.
Who gets more benefit from the forgiveness? You are the person you've forgiven.
We do.
All right. We're on point.
We get it because that person who you haven't forgiven, mm-hmm. they moved on with their life.
That's
and
right.
Whether you tell them that you forgive them or not, they're going to still go move on. You're the one that's still kind of wondering about it.
It's not important for them to know. Because a lot of people think they're doing them a favor, and I tell people all the time, you're not doing them a favor, you're doing you a favor. So the people that you've forgiven, you are the ones getting all the advantages from that. So you need to do it without any hesitation, as taxing and as burdensome as it will be. And it's going to be like a ton of cement bricks that's lifted off your shoulder once you do that, and just be able to move on. Well, Sean, I pray for your continued success, and keep doing what you're doing. I am so happy that we eventually got to do the show, because we've been going back and forth for a few weeks. I thank you for hanging in and sticking in there to get this opportunity. And you are welcome to download the segment and do what it is you want to do with it. Put it on your website or anything you want to do.
Well, I just want to quickly just say thank you for having me on the show. And you know, it's all about timing. It's God's timing. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, it was meant for this show to happen today. It wasn't meant for mm-hmm. it to happen a couple weeks ago.
Yes. And I'm just so thankful, too, because sometimes things get in the way, but we have to keep pressing through and going forward. Because as you say, when the time is right, everything will manifest. So again, I want to thank you for coming on. Thank you for the work that you are doing and for coming on and to be transparent in sharing your story. Keep touching lives, my brother, and keep doing God's work.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Stay blessed. Okay, and I look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday when we start our 6-week series of Millionaire Mind. And I will be starting off with Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. So I'm excited, and I know you should be excited too. So I look forward to seeing you right here on Wednesday. And in the meantime, I want you to follow your destiny.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through.
Tonight, you'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it.